I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, listeners of Lower Your Expectations. Welcome back to the podcast, which marks a special occasion. It's also a special occasion for our anniversary.
Yes.
Mine and Matt's 3-year anniversary.
Still going strong.
Still going strong. I'm thinking of proposing next year.
A lot has happened, hasn't it? 3 years. I had like that realisation the other day, didn't I? Because we like celebrated it, which is quite cute. But although like lots of companies have a summer party, don't they? So it just coincides a bit.
Yeah, it's just different when it's just you and me.
Also, did we have a Christmas party? I don't think we did.
You had a very nice Christmas party.
Grand tour. Did we say that was a Christmas party?
You had a Tesco
party?
Christmas party. Glad that memory's gone.
No.
Absolutely forgotten that.
But yes, let's recount some of the favourite and not least favourite, but weird things that have happened over the 3 years.
Okay.
I think my personal favourite, and I'd forgotten about this, the 1,000-degree knife challenge. 3 years in YouTube terms, I feel like it's like 30 years.
It's an eternity. 1,000-degree knife challenge.
It was amazing.
It's stupid.
KSI did it with a sword, didn't he? On his diamond play button.
Did he?
Yeah, do you remember?
That's a waste. That is an absolute waste. He cut his diamond play button in half.
I don't think it cut. But for the thumbnail, it looked amazing.
That's made me sad, especially because I'm never going to get there.
We never tried that on War Marcus, did we? 1,000-degree knife.
No,
I wanted to. I remember putting it down on there.
Yeah, you wanted to.
You put your foot down.
For anyone that's listening that doesn't have a clue what we're talking about, by the way, 1,000-degree knife challenge, it was by like that random... Mr. Gear. You literally set fire to a knife. You burn the blade to make it hot enough.
1,000 degrees.
1,000 degrees. Yeah. I mean, no one actually knows that it's that temperature to do it. None of the YouTubers put like thermometer on it. They just stick a flamethrower.
1,000 degrees.
On it.
I bet in brackets, not clickbait.
Yeah. And then you just cut through pretty much anything you want. So that became a thing, and YouTubers started doing it, and we probably should have done it. Maybe we'd be at 10 million subs if we took
exactly.
that avenue.
Exactly. Well, your favourite trend to hop on was the DIY Galaxy, wasn't it? It was my least favourite because it was like a ball. Like to try and organise clean up. You loved it.
I don't think you were ever cleaning that up. You always used to leave and it's just in my house, like in my kitchen, and I'm like, oh, see you then, Matt.
When you were away, I would have to buy all this stuff in.
Yeah, you'd have to buy
it. Clogging up my flat, and I'm like, oh, cool. We've got some slime over there.
It's still in the package, though.
Yeah, that's true. It's not all over the table, is it?
That was funny, wasn't it? I mean, you're just playing a game. Obviously, it's fun with the new trends that come in and doing your spin on them, but essentially, it's like finding what things are popular and just recreating that. That's kind of what makes things pop on YouTube.
I mean, that still happens now, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
That's the whole point of like tags. Someone creates something and it's like, oh, we can do that tag.
It is interesting when you do think of the journey of YouTube, what's popular in that time frame has changed. Like you said, tags feels so old.
It seems like nobody does like a normal collab anymore where it's just a sit down Q&A.
But they all had like, it was like 21 facts about me or 50 things about me or 50 things in my room.
When you look back now, that's quite nice, isn't it? Compared to what's big now, like drama. 21 facts about me, now it's punching KSI in the head.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? We went in for a meeting yesterday of YouTube. I was speaking to my partner creator at YouTube. And we were talking about like, oh, what's popular? And I just said that YouTube seems to be like a just drama-fueled place right now. And he couldn't agree more.
But we've been hooked into that as well. The amount of time we spend talking about it on this podcast.
I know.
Like, we're just so invested in it.
We need to like get the drama in here. Who should we throw shade at?
Well, I always think you and Alfie would be a good boxing match. Similar height, similar reach.
Mate, I don't want to do a boxing fight.
Why? But it's the trend.
I've gone from throwing shade to do a boxing match. I'd rather insult someone with my words than my fists.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing, wasn't it? Diss tracks.
Yeah.
This time last year, that was absolutely huge.
Yeah, that was another trend, wasn't it?
Yep.
Diss tracks.
And making, not just diss tracks, like making music videos, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With Vivo in the thumbnail.
Yeah, and there were some huge examples of it. And now, what's the next thing going to be?
I guess that's exciting, because it's like there's a gap, especially in the UK. Who's going to rise out of the flames like a phoenix?
Okay. I do feel like there is a space to do something on YouTube right now, but it's just what? Because coming from a creator, like, at the moment, the more work and effort you put into a video, the less... No, honestly, like, I feel like that, the worser it does.
Yeah. You know, we were talking this morning about, like, the H3 channel. Mm. They haven't uploaded a video in 3 months.
Yeah.
So now they're doing regular uploads, but on their podcast channels.
Yeah.
And you were saying, is that, well, I guess there's less pressure.
Yeah,
it's like
that's
true. They're just being themselves on this podcast. Yeah. And
but that's nice. That's why I think we're trying to experiment with video. It's like, if anyone's new to watching this on YouTube at the moment, they might be like, oh, this is weird. But we've been doing a podcast for 2 years.
Yeah. I'm glad we're doing it now. Like, we've been doing it for 2 years and then filming.
Oh, we didn't just start 2 years.
Imagine, like, what I would be like.
Hi, guys. Oh. Well, welcome to...
Well, I don't know if we've spoken about this before, but in the test episodes, like,
Mate, your voice was killing.
I hardly spoke.
I felt very under pressure in the test episode.
Yeah, but that's good. We had, like, 4 or 5 people in the room, and it was like, oh god.
We were just sat around my kitchen table, like, right, and speak.
I remember reverting back to just talking about, like, going for a poo in your house. Yeah. And I was like,
brilliant.
I'm so glad I said brilliant. That in front of all these people. I'm so happy that didn't go up there.
The thing for me, though, with that was I didn't realise that we could stop talking. I felt like we couldn't have, if we had an awkward pause for like 2 seconds, then it's game
over. Oh my god, I think we're doing this.
We can't do it.
Yeah, that's so true, actually. I mean, we've said that before to, like, other guests who maybe haven't done podcasts before. And it's like, well, don't, you know, just relax. Like,
yeah.
You don't need to fill every silence.
But it's very, like, easy to say that, isn't it? Like, now you're used to it. It's like you feel very comfortable doing that. Whereas the first time, same with anything, you stick a camera in someone's face, you're like... Yeah.
Well, I'm still like that now.
One of my favourite things to do is looking back at some of the first sketches we did when we just started working together. And we needed, like... different character or a surprise.
Yeah, I was
voiceover.
Like, getting myself on that channel.
Yeah, yeah.
First video.
That was your first step towards becoming an influencer, wasn't it?
I'm not an influencer, mate.
On your journey.
I'm not an influencer. Do you like that term now, or do you still hate it?
Influencer.
Yeah, I feel like you've come around to it. Whereas before, it was like people who used to say it were just YouTubers, influencers, whatever. Now I feel like it's an industry standard term.
That's the thing. It has become industry standard. It's become norm for the outer world in terms of take the people who use YouTube away. It's the brands, the agencies. Yeah. Everyone refers to someone like that as an influencer. I don't know why it's hated so much because...
That's just a bit cringe, isn't it? I don't know why, but I've got that stigma in my head. I'm like, oh, influencer.
Yeah.
That's cringe.
But it's also like everyone's an influencer. Anyone can be an influencer. It's what's like, if we're going to come up with something else, what is it? Digital content creator.
And it
digital first talent.
Influence is cleaner, isn't it?
It's
and it is true because
creator?
People in that space do so many different things. You can't be like, oh, that's a YouTuber. So, well, they've also got X amount on Twitter or Instagram or Twitch or whatever.
I liked the word that, I mean, it doesn't work, but this word started popping a bit called a digital native.
That's never going to go big, is it? People aren't wasting their breath
saying, I'm a
digital
native.
That's not happening.
I'm actually a digital native. What do you do?
Oh, that sounds ridiculous. Could you imagine saying
no,
that?
No, I couldn't.
Now we've spoken about alternatives, influencer makes the most sense.
I've said this before. It depends on the scenario I'm in. I'll say like, oh, I make videos. Or I make videos and I post on Instagram rather than using one word.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
It is. Like, a footballer wouldn't go, oh, I kick a ball about. They'd go, I'm a footballer.
I'm a football creator.
No.
But going into, like, favourite moments over this, I love how we're bigging this up as this 3-year journey where it's changed the world.
It's not going to be a 4th-year anniversary, is there?
Fair. Changed my world, to be fair. Going from, like, freelance, doing jobs here, there and everywhere, it's quite nice to be settled.
Oh, that's very
settled
cute.
Settled city.
That is cute.
Yeah. Who would have thought 3 years ago that we would still be working together? I'm sure you didn't think that.
What are you trying to say?
No, like, it's a long time. It's what I'm saying. It's a long time in YouTube world.
Yeah, it is. But it's because when you came into it, it's developed into more of a, not a relationship, a partnership.
Well, no, I mean, it is a relationship. Let's not
No,
kid
but
about.
Like, not just like a job. It has to be. For it to work, it has to be. If I was just like, do this for me. Like, it's just not nice, is it?
That's why I always find it really funny when, like, the only thing you're really anal about, I'm going to spill that tea.
Oh. Ooh.
Thumbnails. When you're like, nah, mate.
Because I think we have, like, a little bit of a different mindset. Like, you're sometimes more like, let's get it done. And I'm a bit more like, let's get it done,
well,
but I kind of want it to be, like, perfect.
Well,
or like,
no, and you're actually in it. Like, I'm not in. Not there. Like in the thumbnail.
That's the one thing.
Like, do I look good at this? If it was me in the thumbnail, I would be like, oh my god, what's my best angle?
Face tune.
Where am I? Favorite memories. What do you think over this 3 year spectacular journey?
I mean, obviously Vietnam was a cool trip. It had its lows as well. We joke about Vietnam being the downpour of the channel, don't you remember? It's because we went. What's really funny is, as a YouTuber, you're always in the unknown. Like, how well a video does, there's no kind of direct knowledge as to why it performed that well. And you know what becomes norm for your channel. So, say we were getting 200,000 views a video, like, per day, that becomes normal at that current moment in time. So then when we go to Vietnam and like we upload and it drops like 100,000 a day, that turns into like absolute panic city, doesn't
panic
it?
Panic mode.
And you're searching for answers. And we were, and it's quite funny looking back, it was like, oh, is it because we've uploaded in Vietnam? There's all these theories.
The conspiracies and Hong Kong as well. Videos just weren't doing anything, weren't doing bits. I mean, to round it all off, 3 years, going strong. What will happen in the next 3 years? Mate, it'll be 30.
Nearly 30.
30.
Nearly 30. You'll have 4 kids by then.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Where are we going, Dad?
Hello there, Marcus. Have you got your ID?
No.
I need to give you a boarding pass.
Okay.
Well, that's fine because we'll chuck you on the next flight. That's fine. But we're going to go. Toning it down a bit because normally I'm like, not doing that this time. Okay. We are going to the digital world, which includes Instagram, it includes IGTV, it includes Twitch, it includes YouTube.
There's a new one.
It includes Facebook, it includes all the different social medias out there. Twitter.
Habbo Hotel.
Bebo. And we're there, we've landed, we're looking around, we're like, oh, what's going on? Oh, hang on a minute, someone just uploaded a video, who is it? It's Shane Dawson, it's Jeffree Star, it's the secret world of Jeffree Star. Boom!
Cool.
Jeffree Star is a, how do you describe him? He's enigmatic, isn't he? He's an entrepreneur.
A social media star turned business phenomenon, brand owner, dominator.
And he's got all the dollars.
Supposedly.
So Shane Dawson, YouTube.
Who's he?
Extraordinaire.
Never heard of him.
Everybody loves at the moment. And including me, and definitely including you. You're one of his like biggest fans, aren't you?
All right. Calm it down. Got hard on. Don't
want to embarrass you.
Just hiding that.
He's done a 5-part series with Jeffree. The final episode, part 2, is going up tonight. So we haven't seen that yet. If anything changes, it's not our fault.
Yeah.
Okay? But it's been predominantly about money, I feel. It's been about his journey, but also mainly Shane being like, oh my God, you have so much money.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking because I saw a tweet a while ago, a couple of weeks ago, by Hank Green. How would you describe him, first off? Like
Hank Green?
YouTube, like, OG?
YouTube icon.
Well, let's leave it at that. Yeah. Anyway, his tweet was, displays of wealth on social media doubtless make many people feel inferior because of something that is almost entirely out of control. Why are we doing that? And that got me thinking about this video because it was just like, Jeffree, and he deserves his success. Like, I was astounded by how like driven he is and all of that. But it is just these videos just flaunting his wealth. You know, it's like, oh my God, how much does this cost? Oh my God, how much does that cost? Oh my God, you have this. And it made me feel a little bit uncomfortable with it, because I'm like, so what are we celebrating here? That he's got loads of money? It's like, you're not celebrating his hard work and success. It's like, no, look at all this materialistic stuff I've got. This cost 150 grand.
Yeah, but the sad thing to say is that's what a lot of people care about, and that's what a lot of people want to know. People are nosy. People seeing that, sad to say, just want to know about money. Look at anything to do with YouTube. People who don't know about YouTube, when you're interviewed on TV, it's all, how much money do you earn? How much money do you... Because it's a world they don't understand. So it's like, I know what you're saying. It did get to a point when it's like, all right, I get it. You're fucking loaded. Like, yeah. I get it. Yeah. But at the same time, what I personally liked about it, I must hold my hands up and say, I really didn't know much about Jeffree Star before watching this, is that if he's never shown that before, a lot of people on YouTube, when they get a bit of money, get their dollars out, get their cars out, flash it all about. He's dwarfing those people with that type of money, and he's not doing that. He has materialistic things, but he's not shoving it down people's throats.
Because I think it's very interesting. This is why I was like, I really want us to talk about this, because I don't know if it's a cultural thing. Whereas in the States, that seems like Donald Trump is the president. And it's part of that. It's like, look how successful he is. He has this much money.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's part of the American dream, isn't it?
Exactly.
Anyone can do whatever. If they follow their dreams, you can earn a crazy amount of money. Yeah. Yes. My opinion on this is that I think a lot of European... I'm talking about Britain.
Yep.
I feel like we have a constant urge to criticise people who earn money.
Look, I'm definitely part of that. I will hold my hands up.
Sportsmen, like the most famous sports people. Mm. Like, it's never a celebrated thing. People are always like, oh, why are they earning so much money?
Like, in this country, we would never have the headline of Kylie Jenner on her way to becoming the first billionaire influencer, would we?
No.
Because that would seem, I guess, tacky or distasteful. But it leaves me thinking about, like, yourself creating, putting your life on the internet. How do you feel about putting what you do on the internet in terms of, like, your wealth and how you're doing? Because I'm sure a lot of people don't know half the things that you've got going on. And I've always wondered that. I mean, I'm not going to out you. You've got this, you've got that. But I would say that's obviously a choice.
Yeah, for me, it's like, oh, it's such a trick, such a deep subject. No, it's interesting. I really want to get into it. It's like, I have never been about flashing wealth. I was never raised like that. I was always taught that money speaks for itself, in terms of, like, growing up, I was lucky to be surrounded by it, not in my family, but know some people who were quite wealthy, people who inspired me and stuff like that, quite successful business people, and they never flashed their wealth. And it was always, I just saw it as a respectable thing. It's like, I just find it quite tacky when you're just like, yeah, look at all my money, look at this, look at that, I'm doing this, doing that. And I've never experienced money anything like Jeffree, so it's like, of course we can't compare that. But I have always been, from the very first point I started earning money, I've always been in my head, like, I need to invest in my future, because I don't know how long this thing's going to last. I don't know what's going to happen, because it's such a new industry. So I think the first thing I ever won when I entered this YouTube competition and won YouTube...
Next Up?
It is Next Up, isn't it? I couldn't remember the ending. It's
Next Up.
Next Up, across Europe, there's a €20,000 reward for winning this competition. Which YouTube were like...
You meant to buy a camera of that?
They wanted you to invest into, like, production equipment and stuff. And I did. I bought...
In equity.
I bought new cameras, okay. New tripod, new lights, yep. Which cost about $1,500 back then. And then I used the other part to buy my first flat. And for me, I was lucky to be one of a close family friend, a very successful property developer in Brighton. When I met him when I was 10 in his mansion in the south of France, and I was like, what do you do? And he's like, well, I own properties. And he's been kind of a close helper in terms of supporting that decision of mine to invest money in property, because I'm still by that belief. Like, if everything went tits up, that's something to fall back on. And I've always, not just property, not just this, but it's always been my ambition to get to somewhere where, if shit hits the fan or you stop getting views, you stop earning money through that, I've got other stuff going on. And I'm lucky I've done that with property, that it's got, I've got a portfolio, it's run as a business, but I don't need to...
But you don't show that.
I don't need to... Yeah, I don't show.
Well, like, you've had nice cars before and I don't think you've ever shown that. And I remember when we've been vlogging or I've been filming you, you'd be like, oh, don't get the car ruined.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely fine. But I was thinking, oh, I wonder why... that is. I mean, obviously part of it's like, you know, part of doxing and stuff, isn't it? You don't want people knowing where you live and just the car itself.
That stuff, for me, it's not about doxing. It's just...
What are you worried is going to happen? Like, you're going to get hate or like what?
Just don't like it. Like, I don't feel the need to do it. If I had a nice car, I just find it a bit cringe or like, not detrimental. Like, it's just a bit offensive. It's like, I'm shoving something in people. For an industry that people don't respect, generally, they don't. People like, being a YouTuber is not really a respected industry. From the general public, yeah. It's not. So to then go like, look at my car, look how much money, it's just, it doesn't bode well. Yeah. And
well, it's quite nice then that you respect other people who do it then, because you don't do it yourself, but you're not here being me, like, why is Shane just, you know, obsessed with money in these videos?
The difference with that is because, like, people know YouTubers earn good money. But like, and you know, there's all these things, CPMs and stuff. You could look at Jeffrey's account, see his stuff, and like have a rough estimate of what he earns.
Yeah, but they're not normally true, are they? Like the Social Blade and things.
No one knows anyone's wealth, but they don't. Like, no one really knows how much anyone's got in their bank account, how much money they have.
What about when the article was like, how much is so-and-so worth?
Yeah, it's like, a lot of the time... They don't know. No one really knows. And a lot of people shouldn't really know because it's an extremely personal thing. But what I would say of that is Jeffrey has created this monster mammoth company on the side. And for me, that's why I watched the whole thing, because I'm like, fuck, that is amazing. I'm so, like, I had no idea. You've got this lavish lifestyle with your materialistic things, whatever. Great. But like, the fact you've created this monster of a hundreds of million dollar a year companies.
Let's put it this way then. So Alfie got in a load of trouble because of the £1. Fair enough. But then Jeffrey and Shane aren't getting in trouble, but they're like joking around, but oh my god, this costs this much. And Shane's like, oh, I've only got this. And it's like, dude, you've got two pinball machines in your place. Like, yeah, okay, it's not Jeffrey level, but
I think there's a difference. Like, the difference I would say there is, because that made me feel a bit funny. Like, I know Shane has worked his fucking ass off. I spoke about before when I Skyped him and he was open to me and saying that he had a production budget of 50K a month. Like, it's a fucking lot of money to make his content. And he's, you know, a lot of his stuff hasn't been monetized and stuff like that. So he's in a different position to a lot of YouTubers in terms of the size of his channel and where he may be financially at.
Yeah.
But the thing with Shane is he is still making money. Of course he is. He still does have a nice lifestyle. Of course he does. What I took away from that video is Shane has no interest in materialistic things, which I thought was lovely, like, great.
That's a good point, actually. And I think maybe that's almost an issue with the format he's doing, where, 'cause he is just trying to put the focus on Jeffrey. I mean, like, this is what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then I guess by making the comparison to himself, he's trying to be like, Shane's like us, like the normal people, not us, but you know what I mean, like the general public.
And that's harder to relate.
It's hard to do when Shane's in the position he's in.
Of course.
I think that's what I found a little bit, like, I'm not sure if this is working, if you know.
Yeah, but I don't think it can be compared to Alfie's, because Alfie's was like, well, it's just a different thing. Shane is like, his sense of humour, he's like, he's almost playing a character when he's doing that. You can see how he is. And
on YouTube, it's just interesting. So there's so many different attitudes to money, isn't there? Like, Casey Neistat, some of his best videos in terms of like performing are the ones where it's like flying Emirates first class. I remember that absolutely smashed it.
Yeah, the $25,000 plane ticket.
Well, I mean, there's loads of YouTubers when it's like putting how much money it is in the title.
But that's because I stand by this. What I say is that we as human beings are slaves to money. Everyone. It doesn't matter what, where you are, I feel like that is what society has made us think. Like, we slave away to money, and that's what fascinates people. You know, you meet someone new, I feel like money is such an interesting thing for so many people. Like, I'm fascinated by money in terms of, like, I love to know how successful business people are, and, you know, how when Apple becomes the first $1 trillion company and stuff, it's like, that's fascinating, but why? And like you said, people just are into that. They just watch it.
I don't know, I just find it, like you, I find it tacky and a bit icky. Oh, I've got this. I'm like, okay.
I'm not.
But maybe that's part of me being, it's jealousy, or it's like it's a weird resentment. And I don't know why it is. Like, I feel like I have that with a lot of things. I don't really give people the benefit of the doubt if they've got loads of money. But they are just normal people. But I'm like, oh, you fucking loads of money. Give me some.
But that's interesting from your point of view then. So it's like, so what's your opinion on Jeffrey and like...
the way it was hitting me over the head with, oh my God, you have this much and that costs that much. Like, that doesn't interest me at all. What it does is going to the factory and seeing the whole process of how it all happens and his story, like the human elements of it. I just think money's just a thing and it should be more about the person and their attitudes. And because people don't get rich by just whatever. It's like they have a certain type of personality or a way of thinking. And I think that's more interesting than what they spend the money on.
In defense of that with Shane, the only thing I could think of with that is that YouTube's become such a place of, like, not knowing what's real or not. You know, when you watch something, you're like, is that rented? Is it owned? Is it this? Is it that? Like, you don't know. As you've been pranked and, like, clickbaited so many times as a viewer, I don't know what's real anymore. And
simulation.
Seriously, though. And with that, it's like, he can walk around whatever and talk about how much money people have and show businesses, but it sounds stupid. Walking around that factory, even part of me, I'm like, what if this is all, like, set up? But that's the current state of YouTube. If that was on a TV show, I wouldn't question that.
which is crazy.
Mental.
That's crazy.
So going back to the money thing, I think that's like when he stands there and he's like, oh yeah, this handbag costs 150,000. I'm like, fuck.
Well, it's a house.
Fuck. It's more than a house. Like 150K is like, that's not gone, oh, here's 30 grand for your house deposit. Yeah. That's like 150K. Cash.
But then again, like Jeffrey said, that's an investment. That's not just a thing he's putting on his arm.
Of course.
That blew my mind, the Birkins. I was like, oh my God, because from Gemma's job, but I know about that, like Birkins and the value of them and things. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, that's
insane. And how he described it, that's a form of art to him, which is great.
Yeah.
And that's, respectable.
But you wouldn't be doing that if you had something like that. I guess the closest thing since I've been with you, so we did like the trainer video, because that's something you're really into.
Yeah.
And it was like showing off your trainers. But
yeah.
Other than that, you don't really go into any of it.
No, I don't.
Maybe we should.
Exposing my wealth.
How much am I really worth? That's what this is going to be called.
Because it's not like, I don't know. I feel like I always want to connect with or relate to an audience. And if I am all of a sudden putting myself up there, it's like, you either become someone that people just look at and they're like, oh, I want that lifestyle. Or you can still be like, hey, look, I'm still a normal person, but like, I've done all right.
I've got school in 2 weeks. I need to do it back to school.
DIY, back to school. Got your rucksacks ready.
But you make a very good point, though, because it's like, I guess that's a whole thing on YouTube. It's like aspirational, different types of people. Aspirational vlogger, aspirational blogger, makeup, whatever. You're right. You either go into that category or you're still, got school in 2 weeks.
Oh, you're just like me and trying to find yourself.
We can all relate to that. Everyone's always trying to find themselves in this simulation. Would you like to introduce? I feel like I introduce every segment. I always feel quite bad.
Taking over the podcast.
Have you got a little tune or anything, a jingle for Ask Matcus? I'm strapped in already, mate, so don't worry. Don't need to check.
Ask Matcus. Very simple. Thank you. Very simple, straightforward. Matt, Marcus, Matcus. This is from Mia Best. Hashtag LYE. Thank you, getting that hashtag in there. If you guys on YouTube want to get involved on Twitter or anything, use the hashtag LYE. What was your favourite and least favourite subject in school? Here's the relatability for all you kids out there.
Back to school, because it's a couple of weeks,
back to school advice. Yeah.
Would you like to go first or shall I?
Go on, you can.
I would say I'm going to be very basic. My favourite, honestly, was PE. Yeah. And then when I got a little bit older, it became media studies. It was my absolute dream.
What did you get in PE?
C. Coursework, A star. Then I thought, I don't need to learn about bones or anything like that.
Sorry, GCSE, right? Not A-level. Because A-level PE is like, I did A-level. It's hard. GCSE PE, the opening question of our exam was, name a sport that involves jumping. You got a C.
No, but it was like, it was the bone stuff. Okay. And everyone said to me, you don't need to learn it. It's like when I failed my theory test for the first time. Everyone said, oh, it's so easy. You just turn up. Okay. That's an extra 30 quid.
Mate, you must have flopped big time in that exam. But if you had an A star in coursework too.
Yeah. So put the hours in.
This is on the internet forever.
Need to learn table tennis and swimming, all this different stuff, and then just let myself down.
For your next job.
What?
This time next year, this is on the internet.
My least favourite was by Miles, it's ironic now, IT. Hated it. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus.
shit
our
teacher.
Our teachers, oh my god. Like, IT was just the forgotten subject.
What did you get in IT?
Failed it. Failed IT.
Oh, Matt.
How about you?
Save with you, PE. Absolutely love PE.
I like running around outside.
Yeah. Oh, hated that. When it's like, today we're doing cross country. Oh. Running around the field in the freezing cold. Fuck off.
No, but when you just get all sweaty and then go back to class
afterwards. Oh, yeah, because they're like, there we go, we've finished 5 minutes before, you've got 5 minutes to get ready for your next lesson.
Or it's like, go and have a shower. Like, I'm not getting naked in front of anyone.
He's got a big willy. I haven't hit puberty yet. Least favourite, I really hate to say this now, it's quite embarrassing.
I think I know what you're going to say.
It's history at school, that which I say embarrassing, I'd like to defend myself, because I love history now, like, you know, I fucking love watching documentaries, educating myself now, like, and I really regret not taking an interest at school.
I took it GCSE, got a B. I wanted an A. Got 5 A's at GCSE.
You got 5 A's?
Yeah.
You had to throw that one in there, didn't you, to recover for PE,
potential employers.
But you didn't get an A in your favourite subject.
Media. I got an A
you did that
media
at school?
Studies. Yeah. Oh, it's my favourite. That was my absolute favourite.
I didn't get that choice in media studies at school.
Really? But yeah, there you go, guys. Back to school. Have you got your pencil cases yet? Should we do a back to school haul on
Absolutely
this channel? Now that we're filming it.
My audience isn't 12 years old. It used to be. 13 now.
So the big question is a segment where I will go away, find some very quirky articles, and then come back with a question for all of us to answer. So the headline is, Master Dating is the quirky dating trend everyone should try. And it's not as dirty as it sounds. Before you read this, what do you think master dating is?
You go on like a soggy biscuit exchange or something? Like masturbate on a date?
Master dating is actually a thing where you take yourself on a date. So it's quite nice, really. They're saying it's liberating and empowering experience. And it sends the brain a very powerful message that I matter. Cute, isn't it? I'm not sure if I do.
Well, like, you do it in the sense of, like, you go to the cinema on your own.
But again, what I was about to say, I don't see it in, like, I'm going to have a master date tonight.
You are now, though. You're going to see that now.
Yeah, my question to you is, what would be your perfect master date?
I'm going to be completely honest with you. You're probably going to know what I'm going to say.
Okay.
But I don't think I would do it.
Sad.
I'm too...
Give yourself a bit of love.
I'm too socially anxious to go...
And have a good old master date.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be able to bring myself to do it.
Really?
Unless it counts, like, going to the gym on your own.
That's not master date.
That's my master date.
That is not a master date. No one goes for a gym date, do they? That's not a thing.
I do.
No, it's not. When you first met Steph, it's, oh, do you want to go on a date? I'll take you to my gym.
We met in the gym.
No, you didn't. What could you do where you... It's not as, like, daunting. So I do admit, like, going to the cinema on your own, not many people do that. I know that. I feel like in the cities people do, but even then they're apprehensive to begin with.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I just think...
You don't have to talk to anyone.
No, I know. And I don't really care about other people.
I know you don't. Don't care about me.
So, I don't know. To be honest, I would love to go on a long walk, but or like a climb up a mountain, sit at the mountain, not like Everest or something. I'm talking about a UK, like I used to do it as a kid with my dad and stuff.
But on
my own. I'd love to experience that. You're in nature, you're immersed with like whatever, and like
that does sound nice.
Take some time to think about your thoughts.
That's a very good master date. And I think that would be a nice normal date as well, actually. Okay, that is a good one. You probably, like you said earlier, you probably know what mine is.
Cinema.
It's part of it. Start off.
Drink beer. Watch football. Eat a curry.
Curry on Brick Lane to begin with. And then hopefully the football is on. So I can go for like the early bird, get a good deal on the curry. So I'm like done by 6:37.
You've really thought. Are you planning this next weekend?
Gemma's out tonight. And then I'm going to go to watch the football, 7:45. Have like a couple of drinks at the pub. And then afterwards, go and catch a late movie, like a horror or something.
And go then, and catch a late movie, bro.
And then I'm going to go home and say to Jem, I had a really good master date. Well, we all need a bit of self-love sometimes, so treat yourself, guys. Go and try a master date and send in a photo of you doing it, and we'll talk about them on the next episode of LYE.
For anyone that might have heard differently, that's master date. Definitely don't send in pictures of you masturbating, please. Refrain from that, thank you. And on that note, we're going to end here. So thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of Lower Your Expectations. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. If you've been watching online, thank you, hello.
On Twitch or YouTube, whatever it is.
Wherever we are in the world, thank you for tuning in. We will see you guys next week.
Yeah, make sure you're subscribed because you've got some really cool guests coming on in the next couple of weeks.
Ooh, any hints?
Splash.
Oh,
and singing
and drama. And on that note,
is exciting.
We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.